Welcome to Rare Disease Advisor's Rare Care Podcast, offering unique perspectives from researchers, clinicians, and influencers from the rare disease community.
Hello, this is Larry Luxner, Senior Correspondent for Rare Disease Advisor. We're talking today with Miranda Bradnick of Middletown, Delaware. Miranda, one of our columnists, knows all too well about Alagille syndrome. Her husband and three of her four children have the disease. One of Miranda's biggest concerns is COVID, since her son, Jackson, has had a liver transplant. Thanks so much for talking with us.
Hi.
Hi. This disease is very much a part of your family's life. Can you explain how you first heard about it and how it has affected you and your family?
Sure. Yeah, it's very, very big to us just because so many of my family members have it. But we first learned about Alagille syndrome when my son Jackson was born. He was about 2 months old and we realized something wasn't right. So we took him to the Children's Hospital and they did a bunch of testing, including a biopsy. So pretty much right away, they were suspicious of Alagille syndrome. Once the genetic testing came back, that just kind of confirmed everything. And that's kind of where it all started for us.
What was his initial symptoms? Did he suffer from severe itching, which is common to this disease?
He did not. He actually did not start suffering from itching until probably about 10 months old. But the initial symptom was jaundice.
And how did it affect him and his health on a daily basis?
The jaundice didn't necessarily affect him too much. He was a little bit on the smaller side. However, he was still gaining weight. But it was more just the fact that he, you know, was 2 months old and still presenting with this jaundice. The main concern with that jaundice came really with the liver, with vitamin deficiencies and some nutritional deficiencies as well.
So the decision to do a liver transplant, how did that come about and why?
That took us probably about a year and a half to 2 years to arrive to, but his symptoms just started to get worse with the Alagille syndrome. And like I said, he started to itch around 10 months, and then that started to become very uncontrollable, like most people, not sleeping at night, constantly just, you know, scratching his body open. And the real push for the transplant happened when he started developing xanthomas all over his body. He couldn't wear shoes. He couldn't pick up toys on his face. So that was the real push for the quality of life with the itching and the xanthomas over, you know, the waiting period.
And the timing of this is very interesting because his transplant took place in November 2019, which you said was a few days short of his third birthday, and also coincided with the beginning of COVID. And that's when we first started hearing about COVID, right at the time of his transplant. It was declared a pandemic in early 2020, so I'm sure that must have raised some serious concerns in the family.
It did. At first, I was just, you know, trying to downplay it, I think, more for me in terms of anxiety. Like, it's not a big thing. It's not going to become a pandemic. But then it did, and it was very scary. We had to monitor a lot more, but I feel like we were already in that being very cautious phase because we had just come out of transplant. We were already hand washing constantly, sanitizing constantly, you know, Lysoling constantly. So when COVID came, we really didn't have to change anything. We were already social distancing. We were already staying at home. Jackson was already wearing a mask when we were out in public to protect himself. So not a lot had changed for us, just that added fear now of this new disease and how it would impact him if he caught it.
Now, 3 years on, very few people are talking much anymore about COVID and how it affects their daily lives. Nobody's wearing a mask in public. How much does that concern you, having a son who has had a liver transplant?
It's concerning in the fact that I feel people are just forgetting about it. Just similar to like people when they have the flu, I feel like people don't stay at home. They don't, you know, recover fully before they go out and spread and infect others. So that's really where my concern comes from. It's also hard because we're trying to manage a now 6-year-old boy who we did this transplant for to give him a life and give him a good quality of life. So it's very hard trying to manage the risk of COVID or any potential other diseases versus allowing him to be a 6-year-old, if that makes sense. So not making him mask at school because nobody else at school is masking and not wanting to single him out, but also having safety precautions in place at school where he's allowed to wash his hands constantly. He gets moved away from any kids that are visibly sick. So it's really trying to manage it now on our own because the public isn't really doing that for us.
And you mentioned you have two other children with Alagille syndrome as well. What about them?
I'm not so much concerned about them just because they aren't immune compromised or suppressed like Jackson. And their Alagille syndrome is pretty mild, but it is concerning because we don't want them to bring anything home to him. So, you know, as a family unit, we take precautions. All the kids change their clothes as soon as they come home for the day from school. We wash hands as soon as we get in the door. So everyone's really kind of, you know, doing this together to keep themselves plus Jackson safe.
Is Jackson currently on any medications?
He is. He is on sirolimus, his immune suppressant, twice a day.
So besides COVID, are there other diseases going around, for example, RSV, that concern you?
Any disease concerns me with him, just because you never know how his body's going to handle it. Is it going to end us, you know, with the stay in the hospital for X amount of time because we've been there before with norovirus. Everyone else in the family was fine. He had to go to the hospital for 3 days. So anything concerns me. RSV was very big recently this past winter for us. We did unfortunately catch it. He did fine with it, but any illness going around is always concerning.
Just a question. In the Alagille Syndrome Alliance or the community of people who are either caregivers or who have the disease themselves, is COVID still a big concern?
I think that it's a big concern because every time you catch COVID, it can be different. Symptoms can manifest different. You can experience new things. And it's really just constantly an unknown with it. You don't know how your body is going to react or if there's going to be long-term COVID effects, which can also be a big deal for Alagille Syndrome.
That all makes sense. Wonderful. Thank you very much for talking with us. This is Larry Luxner for Rare Disease Advisor.
Be sure to follow the latest news, perspectives, and clinical resources on rare diseases at rarediseaseadvisor.com. Thank you for listening.